Well, good morning again. If you can pull your Bibles out. This morning is a little different. Like I said, it's all about inviting you into the life of the church, inviting you to join us in the kitchen. It's about inviting you to join us as a church family and be part of what God is doing through our church. And let me be clear about what I don't want to do this morning. I don't want you to walk away from today with guilt, with the thought that you need to start serving in our church because otherwise God's going to be disappointed in you or mad at you. No. Serving in our church is a privilege. It's an honor. It's a joy. Because when we're serving in the church, we're part of something bigger and more important than ourselves. So what I don't want to do is to put guilt on you to make you feel like you're not a good Christian if you're not serving. But what I do want to do is to show you how serving in the church can be one of the great joys of your life. And so this morning we're going to look at God's Word and we're going to see why we should serve God by serving His church. Why should I invest my time, my energy in Jesus' work? And why should I step out of the living room, out of my comfort zone, and serve Jesus? And what I'm going to do today is to walk you through one of my favorite books of the Bible, Ephesians. And Ephesians is my favorite book of the Bible because it's what I've studied this week. Next week, it'll probably be a different book. But this week, it's Ephesians because we have such a treasure in this book. And what I've been studying this week is the theme of the church. And our time is limited this morning, so we're only going to be able to scratch the surface here. But as you look at the book of Ephesians, the idea of the church oozes from just about every verse in the book. And so as we look at Ephesians, we're going to see what it tells us about who we are as a church. And we're going to see four truths that will help us to think and feel rightly about strapping on our apron and joining what Jesus is doing by serving in the church. Open with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1. We're going to start in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. And one really important role in the kitchen is the head chef. And I bet you can think about who the head chef is in your family. Without the head chef, you have no meal plan and you have no purpose to be in the kitchen, right? And our head chef, the one we look to for direction and guidance and training, is Jesus. And Ephesians 1 starts out describing this great eternal plan that God has to bring all of creation under the headship of Jesus. Read with me beginning in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, God is making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Himself, things in heaven and things on earth. That word translated unite in the ESV, it means to bring together under headship. It's a word that was used in diplomacy for bringing together several different nations under one ruler's authority. And so God has this plan to bring all of creation together under Jesus' rule and authority. And in chapter 1, verse 22, he describes this. Look at what he says in chapter 1, verse 22. He says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This verse is talking about Jesus' vast authority and sovereignty. All things are under His feet, it says. And then it says, God gave Jesus to the church as head over all things. Jesus is the head chef running the kitchen. And Jesus is a gift from God to the church as our head. That's our first point. Join us in the kitchen because we have been given Jesus as the head of our family. And this means something very significant. It means that when you serve in the church, first and foremost, you are serving Jesus. That's why we serve. Jesus is our head. We're individually members of His body. And so we serve our head. We serve Jesus. When you set up chairs on Sunday morning before church, You're not doing it primarily for the person who's going to sit in that chair. You're doing it first and foremost for Jesus. When you work hard and prepare a lesson for children's ministry and then go present that with enthusiasm, you don't do it first and foremost for the children. You do it for Jesus. When I prepare a sermon, I don't do it primarily for you. I do it first and foremost for Jesus. In all of our ministries are brought together under the headship of Jesus. And let me tell you, if everyone in our church grabbed a hold of this truth, it would drastically change our church. We would make such an impact for Christ. Because when you are serving out of a love for Jesus, serving isn't a burden. It's a joy and an honor. All of a sudden, all of your service is transformed into an act of worship. And when you have this perspective that Jesus has loved me and died for me and freed me from sin and death and given me new purpose and new hope, and now I get to express my love for him by serving his church. When you have that perspective, how could you not have joy in serving him? And that doesn't mean it's never difficult, but it means even in the midst of the difficulty, there's joy. We've been seeing Paul have this exact attitude as we go through 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 6, Paul spoke of being as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And next week in chapter 7, we'll hear him say this: in all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. When you remember that you are serving Jesus as the head of the church, it changes everything. What once was a burden becomes a joy. What once was an obligation becomes a privilege. Instead of just doing the minimum, you put your heart into it. You think, how can I best honor Jesus? Instead of being concerned about criticism and what people think, you're concerned about what your head thinks, about what Jesus thinks. You know, in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel came together to build God's temple, David said something that I think perfectly captures the attitude we can have when we are serving Jesus. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, it says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have only given you what comes from your hand." David says, all things are yours, you are our head, and what a joy it is to give back some of what you've given to us. There's a second reason you should join us in the kitchen, and that's this. Join us in the kitchen to be part of Jesus' glorious plan. To be part of Jesus' glorious plan. Flip with me over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. My favorite passage in Ephesians. In Ephesians 3, Paul is talking about his role in spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. And read with me what he says in verse 10. He says that he was given this task of sharing the gospel so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. You've got to grab a hold of what this is teaching. It says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Somehow, God uses the church, God uses the little gathering of Temecula Hills Christian Fellowship to bring about a cosmic, eternal effect that is bigger than we could ever dream. When it talks about those rulers and authorities in heavenly places, it's talking about angelic beings. And you got to think about this crazy truth. God uses our church to reveal his manifold wisdom to heavenly beings. That's what it says. Manifold means many-sided. And from our perspective, we can't always see the way God leads us. But we only see one side of God's wisdom. But there's a whole other world going on. Just think about Job. Job had no idea why he was going through the trials that he went through. And yet we know that Job's trials had a purpose in God's plan. They had a purpose in the behind-the-scenes heavenly drama that was going on that Job was totally unaware of. Jesus has this crazy recipe that he's working out throughout history, a glorious plan and purpose that we get a small glimpse of, and his plan centers around the church. Listen to me. When you were saved by Jesus, he saved you for a purpose. You have been saved for something. You've been saved into something. There is a work and there is a plan that God has for this world. And his plan centers around small, local, specific gatherings of people called churches who pour into each other's lives and proclaim the truth to a lost and dying world to see a transformation that will last for eternity. And this is so encouraging because it means that God doesn't join you. You join him. You see, far too often we come up with a plan that we think sounds good, but without fail, our plan for our lives is too small and far too weak. And that's why we need to lay down our plan and start living for God's plan. In Ephesians 5:15, it says this, "Look then how you live. Look then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." You could waste your time. You could waste your life on this earth, spending it on trivialities, on entertainment and hobbies, on a Christian spin on the American dream. Or you could give up your life to the great plan and mission of God. You could live for something that will matter for the rest of eternity, something of cosmic significance. Church, we are plan A, and there is no plan B. So join what God is doing through his church. And this may mean getting to know people, getting into the nitty-gritty of people's lives. Maybe it means inviting people over to your home, getting to know others so you can encourage them and pray for them. Maybe it means getting involved in an equipping hour or home group so you can build real relationships and get to know people. The point is to seek God's will for how he would have you serve. But it's through those seemingly small relationships that God does something locally specific and cosmically significant. It's through these small acts of faithfulness that Jesus reveals the manifold wisdom of God and accomplishes an eternal purpose. So join us in the kitchen because Jesus is the head of the kitchen and Jesus has a glorious plan that you could be part of. Thirdly, join us in the kitchen because Jesus has empowered you to cook in ways you can't begin to imagine. To see this, flip over to chapter 3, verse 20, my favorite passage in Ephesians, at least until we get to the next point. This is the end of Paul's prayer, and as we read it, notice how it speaks of Jesus empowering us to glorify him through the church. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, so often we base our ideas of how God could use us on our own power and our own ability. But that's completely wrong. Paul's beginning is not with us. It's with God. And we look at God and we say, "I can't. I'm not able. I can't teach. I can't impact others. I can't make a difference. I can't. I'm not able." And God looks right back at you and says, "But I am able." It says, "Now to him who is able." God is able. And if you don't think you have a way to serve God powerfully, then you have far too low a view of God. You need to upgrade your view of God and to imagine what he might do as you join him. And God's ability extends far beyond your plans and your thoughts. It says in verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Jesus has placed his spirit within us to empower you. And why? Verse 21, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Jesus has put his spirit in you to empower you to serve and glorify him in the church. Have you ever tried to cook something that you've never made before? And maybe you're hoping it's going to turn out good, and you put a lot of work into it, and maybe it's a flop, and you try something else. Or maybe it becomes one of your family's new favorites. It's a staple at your family's gathering, so much that you can't imagine your family without this delicious meal. You have no idea the powerful ministry that you could have. Serving can be scary. It means stepping out of your comfort zone, stepping out of the living room, taking on responsibility, maybe even doing something you've never done before. But you are called to trust God beyond your capacity, beyond what you think you can do. Maybe it's serving as an usher, helping a new family feel welcome and find a seat where they can hear the truth and experience God. Maybe it's serving in children's ministry, and maybe, just maybe, you're the one who's going to plant a seed that's going to grow into a mighty warrior for Christ. Maybe it's investing in the lives of women, building a foundation of truth that will help them to stand firm when the waves of life pass over them. Or maybe it's coming alongside a family in pain, family dealing with loss that needs support and help. You have no idea how powerful of a ministry you could have, because you are empowered by the very Spirit of God. So Jesus is the head of the kitchen. Jesus has a glorious plan you could be part of. Jesus has empowered you to cook. And finally, join us in the kitchen, because Jesus has designed us to work together. Have you ever been standing around in the kitchen? Or have you ever been in the kitchen when one person is doing all the work and everyone else is just standing around? I actually do that a lot. Not that I'm working, I'm standing around snacking while other people are making food. And the truth is, it's difficult to get anything done when everyone's just standing around and one person is trying to do it all. That's not how Jesus designed the church to function. To see this, flip over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 11. My favorite passage in Ephesians. 4:11. Says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes." Notice what this says. It says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. And why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See, ministry is not just the job of a select few. It's not just the job of the leaders in the church. The job of the leaders of the church is to equip everyone so that we all can work together in ministry. Ministry is a team effort of the entire body of Christ. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a job. The Bible tells us that in the church, we all have a role to play in the kitchen. Someone's peeling potatoes. Someone else is on the grill. Someone else is carving meat. Someone's doing dishes. Someone's taking out the trash. We all have a role to play. Working together, we build each other up. And Paul pictures this as a human body. Look at what he says down in verse 15. It says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together with every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." You see that? How does it say the body grows? Look at the middle of verse 16. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It takes all of us to build the body of Christ. Like a human body, we are more than the sum of our parts. There's a synergy and a life and a power that we have when each person is fulfilling the role that God has given them. And that means that without you, we are not who we're supposed to be as a church. We need each other. We are designed to work together. So the kitchen is where the real business of life goes on. And Jesus is the head of the kitchen. He has a glorious plan that you could be part of. He has empowered you to cook, and he's designed us to work together. And the bottom line is this. The kitchen is where the heart of the family is, because it's where we all join together in serving under the headship of Jesus. And our church is actually pretty awesome at this. Most of you serve God with passion and consistency. But some of us are still hanging out on the front porch, or standing around in the foyer, or chilling in the living room. And we'd like to invite you this morning to join us in the kitchen and experience the joy of serving Jesus. Let's pray together, and then we'll see some practical ways that we can get engaged. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your power and your glory, and that you let us be part of this amazing plan that you're working out in history. Thank you, Lord, that we are privileged to be part of a church and be able to have the honor of serving you. You are such a good king, such a good head to us. And Lord, I pray you just give each of us wisdom and guidance, and show each of us how you would have us invest, Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to honor you and seek your will, and pray that you just help us now as we seek to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'd like to invite up front all of our ministry leaders. So come on up.